I think of her as the hardest working person that I've ever known, and so unafraid.
You're listening to Mountain West Voices. I'm Clay Scott. This is the second part of the story of the late Marie Johnson of Antipina, Russia, and Polson, Montana. As we take up her story again, she's 19 years old and living by her wits in the Pacific port city of Vladivostok. The year is 1919. The Russian Civil War is in full swing, and the escalation of the fighting has made it far too dangerous for Marie to try and return to her family's village in central Siberia. With the last of her money, she books passage on a ship heading north and west, just trying to get as far away from the war as possible. 2 months later, along with five other passengers, she's dropped off at a tiny settlement on the Bering Sea. Marie moved into an abandoned schoolhouse and took stock of her situation. She was more than 4,000 miles from her family, and she had no idea what had happened to them. She had no resources, and she was lonely and scared. That's when Carl Johnson showed up. He was a Swede with American citizenship who spent his summers trading for furs and walrus ivory in the Russian Arctic. Carl and Marie had no language in common, and he was more than 20 years older, but he seemed to be decent and trustworthy, and at the time, that's what she needed. It wasn't long before they were married by a ship's captain, with a Yupik Eskimo boy translating the vows. Their home that first year was a simple one.
I don't know, about 14 by 14 or 12 by 12, I don't remember how, not very big. One big room and we got the stove, making fire, and then Eskimo come in and we making tea.
Marie had grown up reading Russian romantic poetry and dreaming of Paris. Now she was sharing a 12 by 12 driftwood and walrus hide shelter with a man she couldn't speak to. Carl Johnson wasn't anxious to give up the life of an itinerant Arctic fur trader, but when Marie's Yupik and English were good enough, she persuaded her husband, she called him Johnson, to take her across the Bering Strait to U.S. territory. After 2 years, during which their first son was born, they made their way to Nome, Alaska, then Seattle, and finally to Polson, Montana, where Carl had filed a homestead claim 10 years earlier. Marie immediately embraced her new life as a farmer and rancher.
She worked hard herself, and so she expected everybody else to work hard. Very demanding of what she thought people should be like.
That's Gene Johnson. I visited him in Polson along with his sisters, Lillian and Helen. I asked them at what point they realized how extraordinary their mother's early life had been.
I think it was after we had gone out into the world and kind of come back and listen to some of the stories. But as kids, we had no idea.
I don't think we thought much about it. Normal, you know. But you talk to people on the streets now and they say, oh my, your mother did this and did that, and to us, you know, it's just normal.
Marie's children told me their mother was both practical and stubborn, without a lot of concern for rules or customs. Sometimes it could be amusing.
I was there when she learned to drive, and she learned to drive into a haystack to stop and things like that. But she did also go to town. She drove to town, and sometimes she would park on the other side of the river and walk across the bridge to town, but sometimes she drove into town, and the police kind of looked the other way until she rolled the pickup.
After her husband's death, Marie kept the family afloat by raising cattle and wheat and by raising foxes for their fur. She became a fixture around Polson, but she never stopped thinking of Russia and of her family.
I think one of the tough times must have been when she didn't hear from any relatives for 20 years, didn't know what had happened to any of her Russian relatives.
The Johnsons lent me an interview of their mother recorded several years before her death. The poor quality of the recording and Marie's accent make it hard to understand at times. But as I listen to it, what strikes me most is the seeming absence of emotion on the part of a woman who's describing such an extraordinary and terrifying personal odyssey. What does come through the scratchy tape, however, is an unshakable sense of self on her part, and a matter-of-fact way of describing almost unimaginable adversity. I'm tough, she says at one point. If I'm not tough, I would have been dead 50 years ago.
I'm tough. If I'm not tough, I've been dead 50 years ago.
You've been listening to Mountain West Voices. Our series is produced in association with the O'Connor Center for the Rocky Mountain West, a regional studies and public education program of the University of Montana. Additional support was provided by the Greater Montana Foundation. To support this program, to subscribe to our podcast, or to listen to and download more than 130 stories from around the Rocky Mountain West, go to mountainwestvoices.org. I'm Clay Scott.